Brother Ray has asked for us to read from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 1 through 33. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 1 to 33. As I looked over this passage, there was a verse that stood out to me, and it was verse 21. It says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." I don't know, probably a number of you spent today recalling to your mind, remembering sweet memories of your mother or grandmother or other women in your life that made a difference. And it's a value to do that. It's important to remember, and we get comfort and encouragement from it. But here, it also reminds us there's a value to recalling to our mind and remembering all the things that God has done for us. That's one reason we gather together here, to build each other up and to remember what God has done for us. That gives us hope as we go out into the world. "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." Reading from Lamentations chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travel. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my path crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath been his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul afar off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath then still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silent, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach, for the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies, for he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men." Shall we kneel for prayer?
The title for our message this evening is Marks of a Pit Dweller. And I encourage you to keep your Bibles open to Lamentations chapter 3, because even though we're not completely going verse by verse, we will be looking through many of these scriptures as we go through this message. So keep your Bibles open to Lamentations chapter 3 as we look at marks of a pit dweller. If someone says, "My life is in the pits," what does that mean? I think it means they are in a hole, not a literal hole, but physically or emotionally or spiritually, they have bottomed out. It could be a pit of trial, of despair, a pit of crisis. In our text today, we see, at least the first part, we see the venting of a man in the pits. It's believed Lamentations was written by Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, around 586 BC, and it happened right after Jerusalem was overtaken by Babylon. I want to list some of the things Jeremiah went through, and I want you to try to put yourself in his place. As I list these couple things here in the next minute, what if this had been you? How would you have felt? First of all, he was called to be a prophet, but he didn't have the heart of a prophet. He didn't enjoy preaching against his people. Secondly, he preached for 40 years, and there was no revival. 40 years, and there wasn't a revival. Thirdly, the princes of his people threw him into a dungeon where he sank up to his knees in the mud. What if that had been you? Fourthly, his family called him a dangerous fanatic. Fifthly, he was misunderstood. He was despised. He was even called a traitor. Sixthly, God had told him he could not marry. Seventhly, he was lonely. He was mistreated. And when Jerusalem was destroyed, his life was in the pits. 40 years of preaching and mistreatment. Now his beloved Jerusalem was gone. Many of his friends had been carried away to Babylon. He had time to think as he was in the pit. Not literally a dungeon pit, not a cistern pit. Rather, it was an emotional and spiritual pit. Thinking about his failures, thinking about his problems, thinking about Jerusalem being destroyed. Have you ever been there? Has your life ever been in the pits? Not a dungeon, not a cistern, but rather an emotional and spiritual pit. What can we learn from Jeremiah about how our attitude towards life should be? In Lamentations chapter 3, the first 20 verses, we hear lamentations from the pit. In today's language, we could say that Jeremiah vented his frustrations. Did you ever hear that term? Someone vented their frustrations. He opened up his heart. He poured out his emotions for all to hear. Let's look at a couple of the marks of a pit dweller. First of all, pit dwellers have repetitive thoughts. Look at verses 19 and 20. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. The thoughts expressed in verses 1 to 20, these were thoughts that he just didn't think about one time. They were thoughts that kept going through his mind over and over and over. Remembering mine affliction, still in remembrance. He saw Jerusalem destroyed. He saw how the people had rejected him. And over and over and over and over, he reviewed these thoughts in his mind. You see, pit dwellers never trash a thought. They recycle it. They use it over and over and over again. Have you ever been there? Secondly, we see pit dwellers blame God for what is happening. Jeremiah actually blamed God for putting him in the pit. Notice in verses 1 to 3 how he blames God. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. You see, pit dwellers need to lash out. And since God is sovereign, since he can control everything, pit dwellers naturally lash out at him. God, this is all your fault. How could a loving God allow this to happen? God, where is your love in all this mess that my life is in? It's dark in the pit. Pit dwellers, they dwell in the mud and the pit. They keep recycling their thoughts, and in their thoughts, they attribute God as being the cause of them being in the pit. Thirdly, we see Jeremiah and all pit dwellers, they feel that there's no way out. In verses 5 through 9, that's the theme of those verses. There's no way out of the pit. Verse 5, he hath built it against me and compassed me with gall and travail. Jeremiah saw himself surrounded by all his trials. There was no way out. Verse 6, he has set me in dark places as they that be of old. Jeremiah saw himself in a tomb. Darkness, stones, ground was all around him. There was no way out. Verse 7, he hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chains heavy. God, there's this wall all around me. I can't get out. You have made my chains heavy. I am burdened down. I'm discouraged because there is no hope. Verse 8, also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. Pit dwellers even feel that God can hear them. Humanly, there's no way out. But also, God doesn't hear my cries, so supernaturally, God won't even help me. Verse 9, he hath enclosed my way with hewn stones. He hath made my path crooked. Now, hewn stone is stone that has been cut. Jeremiah sees the path ahead of him. It's blocked with rocks that he believes God has cut those rocks out. God doesn't want me out of this pit. He blocked my way. He hath made the path crooked. Which way do I go? What is the right way out of this trial? There's no straight path. There's no easy way. It's a maze. It's a confused mess. Pit dwellers feel there's no way out of the pit that they are in. Have you ever been there? We've all been there, haven't we? And there's pits ahead of us. Fourthly, pit dwellers have a wrong view of God. Maybe as you noticed as we read this in verses 10 to 17, did you notice Jeremiah's picture of God? In verse 10, he sees God as a bear lying in wait and also as a lurking lion. In verses 12 and 13, he sees God as an archer bent on hurting him. That's not a very flattering picture of God. He pictures God as one who is against him, one who doesn't care about his interest. Isn't that what happened in the beginning when Satan painted for Eve a picture of God as one who can't be trusted? And Satan is still using that same paintbrush in 2014, Jeremiah, in the darkness of the pit, saw a distorted picture of who God is. Fifthly, pit dwellers are filled with self-pity. In verses 14, just to paraphrase verse 14, Jeremiah is saying, "No one likes me." In verse 15, he hath filled me with bitterness. I have a sour, bitter taste in my mouth towards life. It's not my fault the way I feel. It's God's fault. And I have every right to feel the way I feel. In verse 16, Jeremiah is saying, I'm as low as a person can get. Verses 17 and 18. He's saying, I'm as helpless as a person can get. Do you notice the self-focus, the self-pity? Why me? Have you ever been in that pit? You know, repetitive thoughts. Blaming God. You feel there's no way out of your situation. You develop a wrong view of God, and you become filled with self-pity. I'd like to ask for a show of hands here, but I'm not going to. I'm sure you would all raise your hand, because I think we've all been there to some extent. And if you haven't been there, believe me, it's a pit each of us face in our life. In the next couple of verses, I'm glad for these verses, because we see marks not of a pit dweller, but of a pit climber. Marks of a pit climber. And you might ask, well, Ray, what happened? Why was Jeremiah lying in the bottom of this pit, just emotionally, just languishing there and venting? And now we see him climbing up out of the pit. Well, look at verse 21. He says, "This I recall in my mind, therefore have I," what? Hope. What happened? Why did he go from a pit dweller to a pit climber? Well, we see two things happen. First of all, time, and secondly, God's grace. Time has a way of healing or destroying a person. God's grace has a way of reaching the darkest of dark places. Jeremiah kept thinking and thinking about what had happened, but gradually the grace of God turned his thoughts to a new angle, and he became a pit climber instead of a pit dweller. We want to look at seven marks of a pit climber. And again, just for application for myself, I'm glad we have these verses here. First, a pit climber has a new thought pattern. They have a new thought pattern. In verses 19 and 20, he had been remembering bad things. Now in verse 21, he remembers good things. "This I recall. I think on it. I dwell on it. Therefore, I have hope." Let me ask you this. Did you ever have a fly buzzing around you that annoyed you? Could you put your hands up if that ever happened to any of you? Okay, almost everyone. You become totally focused on that negative insect. There might be beautiful music playing around you, but you don't hear the beautiful music. There could be beautiful decorations in the room, but you don't see the beautiful decorations. You might even have loved ones in your room that you think, you know, grandly about, and you love them dearly. But you're not thinking about them. You're thinking about that pesky fly. You don't even think about something good that just happened in your life, because you are focused on that one negative thing, the fly. You see, pit dwellers only see the negative. It's their total focus. Sometimes in their self-pity, they can't see anything good. Sometimes in the darkness, they can't see any of the light that's around them. But eventually, remember we said, time and God's grace, they start looking around. They see the good around them. They see the beauty amid the ashes. I said these verses here, when we look at these seven these are just applications for each of us. And I'm not sure how deep a pit any of you might be in now. But let me ask you this. Is your thought pattern focused on the negative? Do you need to look around? Those negative, repetitive thoughts need dealt with. They need to be cast aside. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, "Casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." You see, the lie-based thought pattern, the perpetually negative thought pattern, it needs cast out. It needs to be replaced with the reality of the good that's around us. Secondly, a mark of a pit climber is they see the good in the bad. They see the good in the bad. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. You see, before Jeremiah had been speaking by emotion, but now he speaks by fact. Things are bad, but they could have been worse. We have sinned and rebelled against God. He should have destroyed us completely. But no, in his mercy, he did not consume us. You see, Jeremiah, he had been looking at the walls. He had been looking at the darkness, the hedge, the despair, the heavy chains. But now he allows a sliver of light to enter his soul. And he sees the positive. Do you see the good inside your pit? Or do you have to admit you've been focusing only on the negative? Only on the bad? You have not allowed the sliver of light to enter your soul. I want to ask you, will you open your eyes? Will you look around the pit? Will you see God's mercy even in the trial you're going through? The third mark of a pit climber is they have a renewed picture of God. In verse 22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Wow. Is this the same person who spoke in verses 10 to 13? The one who pictured God as a bear and as a lurking lion and as an archer trying to hurt him? But now he pictures God as looking down on him and tenderly dealing out his compassions to him. He pictures God as making every day more special with new compassions. He pictures God as the faithful one. Day after day, without failing, he delivers his compassions. As I thought about this change in Jeremiah, an ugly caterpillar came to my mind. You know, a caterpillar, they stay low. They're ground huggers. But give them time, and they enter the blackness of the cocoon, and a transformation takes place. And they soar up, up, up. I believe many people who spend time in the darkness of the pit have a transformation of their mind. In the pit, God does a wonderful work. His grace reaches down and transforms them into something far different from what they were before. Jeremiah was transformed. He had a new picture of God. And as I was just now, as I thought about this, I thought, you know, many of our hymns were written by people who were in a pit. It was in the pit that their richest hymns came out. It was in the pit that God worked. His grace reached down and transformed them. And even Pilgrim's Progress was written by a man in a pit. A man in prison, in a dungeon. I want to read just a little bit of an account from Pilgrim's Progress, when they entered Doubting Castle, and the owner was Giant Despair. And they were cast into the dungeon, and the count reads, "Now a little bit before it was day, good Christian, as one half amazed, break out into this passionate speech. 'What a fool,' quoth he, 'am I, thus to lie in a stinking dungeon, when I may as well walk at liberty? I have a key in my bosom, called Promise, that will, I am persuaded, open any lock in Doubting Castle.' Then said Hopeful, 'That is good news, good brother. Pluck it out of thy bosom and try. Then Christian pulled it out of his bosom and began to try at the dungeon door, whose bolt, as he turned the key, gave back. And the door flew open with ease, and Christian and Hopeful both came out. Then he went to the outward door that leads into the castle yard, and with his key opened that door also. After he went to the iron gate, for that must be open too. But that lock went desperately hard, yet the key did open it. They then thrust open the gate to make their escape with speed, but that gate, as it opened, made such a creaking that it waked Giant Despair, who, hastily rising to pursue his prisoners, felt his limbs to fail, and for his fits took him again, so that he could by no means go after them. Then they went out and came to the king's highway, and so were safe, because they were out of his jurisdiction. As Jeremiah lay in his emotional and spiritual dungeon, he had the promises of God in his pocket. They were the key. But it was so dark, at first he couldn't see the promises of who God really is. But eventually Jeremiah, he got the key out. What the promises of God and his faithfulness and his compassion and who he is. And the key unlocked the doors of Giant Despair and got him out of the pit. I want to ask you, do you fight the pit or do you allow it to transform you? God wants to mold and shape you. Get out the key. He desires to have you see him in a new and different ways. God understands. He understands your doubts. He understands your despair. He understands your bitterness. But he's working on you. He wants this experience to transform your life, to bring a new picture of God to your mind. Will you allow time and God's grace to transform you? The fourth mark of a pit climber is he realizes God will reward good in the future. God will reward good in the future. Verses 24 and 25. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Before, Jeremiah had focused on God's punishment of evil. Now his thought pattern switched. The same God who punishes evil will also reward good in the future. Notice in verse 24, it's almost like Jeremiah is having a conversation with his soul. It's almost like he's talking to himself. He's talking back and forth. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Perhaps he had lingering thoughts of despair. Perhaps he was still fighting doubts about God. So he talked with himself. He tried to establish a positive picture of God over his negative thoughts. God will reward my good. I might be in the pit. I can't see my way out. But I'm sure that God is good. And he someday will reward me for my trust in him. Do you believe God is good? Do you believe he will reward you someday for your trust in him? Is there a struggle going on in your mind? Has your soul been talking to you? Perhaps it's some trial you're going through that no one knows about. It could be the pit of an errant child. It could be a pit of sickness. It could be a pit of strained relationships. A pit of dashed hopes. Whatever the need is, you need to have a talk with yourself. God is good. God will reward me someday. I want to read verses 24 to 26 together as a congregation. I hope you have your Bibles open to Lamentations chapter 3. We want to read verses 24 to 26. We're kind of spread out, so you might need to read a little bit louder. I'm hoping it works. We're going to start at 24 and go to 26. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Verse 26 gives the fifth mark of a pit dweller. He looks to the Lord to bring him out. He looks to the Lord to bring him out. Verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. As I studied this verse, this was a quite interesting verse, and especially the word hope. The same word hope here is completely different from the word hope in verse 24. Sometimes this word that's translated hope here is actually translated trouble or anguish. Many times in the Bible, this same word is used to describe intense pain. People in pits experience intense pain, both physically and emotionally. So now Jeremiah is saying in verse 26, it is good that a man should both suffer pain and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Quietly wait. Be silent. You know, people in pits, we want to cry out. People in pits, we want to climb to the top on our own strength. Try to devise our own plans. We want to try to take matters in our own hands. But Jeremiah says, no, this is good for me. It's good in my pain to silently wait on the Lord, depending on him to bring light, depending on him to put down a ladder, depending on him to help me in this trial I'm going through that no one knows about, to help me in this struggle that I'm going through that no one knows about, to help me with a strained relationship or whatever it is. Depend on him to turn the darkness into day. We live in an age of instant fixes. We're a do-it-now generation. We use our resources and strength to accomplish what we want. The hardest thing for us to do is to wait on the Lord. But that's what God wants. He desires that we look to him for help. He desires that we depend on him. So many times we try to climb that slippery walls. We climb and we slip. We lose our grip. We fall harder. And so we try to climb again and we fall back down. And God wants us to wait silently. He has a rope. He has a ladder. He will, in his time, in his way, give us salvation. It is good in my pain to wait on the Lord. Can I see your hands? Now, you don't have to show them to me. Have you been trying to climb the walls? Can I see scars on your hands from trying to climb the walls on your own strength? Let David speak to you from Psalm 27, 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37, 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Will you wait patiently on the Lord for salvation? Your hands are bleeding. Stop clawing. He's waiting for you to stop clawing, and instead just submit to him and depend on him. In your pain, waiting on him soundly, it's a good thing. The sixth mark of a pit climber, verse 30. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. Does this remind you of the greatest pit anyone went into mentioned in the New Testament? Doesn't that describe Jesus? Luke 22:63. And the man that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face, asking him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" If you're in the pit, it sure does help to know that Jesus understands what you're going through. When you're in the pit, Jesus knows what you're going through. That's our sixth mark of a pit climber. They need to realize Jesus understands. He went through far more than we ever went through. He was struck. He was mocked. He was the reproach of all of Jerusalem. It says he was acquainted with grief. He knows what you are going through. Hebrews 4:15. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Brothers and sisters, Jesus knows. You describe your pit to him. Will you pray to him? He knows what you're going through. What you're going through, to some degree, he has gone through things far worse than any of us will ever go through. You can go to a high priest. You can come boldly to that throne of grace. You can pour out your heart to him. You can vent to him. And he understands because he's been there. And as we're in the pit, it's just so awesome to know we have a God who understands what we're going through. Isn't that great? We have a God who understands. The last mark of a pit climber is in verse 32 and 33. "For though he calls grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of man." You see, the last mark of a pit climber is they trust the motives of God. Jeremiah, on one hand, he went from blaming God, accusing God, doubting God. He went from that to saying, the motives of God are good and just. "For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men." He doesn't afflict because he enjoys it. He's not one to hand out trowels just to get joy out of it. Rather, in the multitude of his mercies, he does it. Jeremiah is saying, just trust God no matter what your heart is feeling. Where are you? Is God to you a bear and a lion? Or is he one you have come to trust in even the harshest of your situations? Brothers and sisters, you know, we can get in the pit in an instant. One phone call, one accident, one visit to the doctor. In an instant, we can be in the pit. But you know, getting out of the pit is a process. Getting out of the pit is a process. You saw how Jeremiah, he slowly allowed time and the grace of God to heal his pain, to heal his hurts. I want to encourage you, hang in there. Don't allow negative thought patterns to rule your life. Don't give in to those repetitive thoughts. Allow God's grace to work in your heart, to change your picture of him, to change your focus, your outlook. I want to close with, I'm going to read from Isaiah 40, verses 27 from the New Living Testament. "O Jacob," or you can put your name in there, "how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles?" Oh, put your name in there. "How can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will faint in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God bless each of you. Even as you might be in the pit, or as you enter the pit someday, to trust him, to take care and control your thoughts, and trust our loving and our awesome God.
For the last couple of weeks, we have been living in the season in which we plant seeds in our garden. We sow different kind of seeds. But we come to the house of the Lord. All through the year, we find that seeds are being sown. Tonight, our brother Ray sowed to us the seed of trust and the seed of hope. I hope that these seeds all take a sprout and they grow in our lives. Shall we stand for a word of prayer?